Randy's scripture this morning comes from Luke chapter 1. Luke 1, 26 to 38. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me according to your word." And then the angel left her.
I want to again thank you for hanging in this morning as we had some technical difficulties. I know you missed the opening announcements and call to worship. I just want to say again, as you come to share with us Christmas Eve, come with your candle. So we're going to all participate in doing that in a virtual way. And also we are grateful that many of you have provided videos for us that we're going to be able to incorporate. I think it'll be a very meaningful service, so please take note of that. I continue to share and preach from our theme of do not be afraid. As I was thinking about this, and as I have been working on these sermons and also preparing for Christmas Eve, I have found it most meaningful to think about how much fear dictates and interferes and interrupts and is just part of our everyday life, particularly in this pandemic. But also, even in doing this service, I think our words could have been, do not panic when you get texts that say the sound's not working. Chris Ann, I know she got those first. I know I received a couple. I'm grateful for that. And it's interesting, do not panic, and yet what else are we supposed to do? We're here trying to do something to benefit people, to benefit all you watching, and we know you're paying attention, and yet we also know that our lips are moving, but we're not even speaking. Or you all can't hear. How do we handle such times? How do we live in this world, which is, there is plenty of opportunity to be fearful. There's plenty of opportunity that can grip us and not just make us panic for the moment, but can just continually to work on us. I've been encouraged by the many examples that we have, and there are so many in the biblical witness, and we have continual places that all people of faith have had difficulties, and all people of faith have had their moments of worry and fear and those types of things. And yet this morning we learn from one Mary, the mother of Jesus, the one who perhaps responded in a way that is most amazing. And we discover again another piece of this journey of what does it mean to not be afraid, and why is it we are called not to be afraid? We see this in this story of Mary. One of the things I like about the biblical writers is they portray to us what I would call a very real setting. They portray to us, they don't sugarcoat that. They don't sort of make some of the things that look a little better as most of us would be tempted to do. We are told when the angel came and greeted Mary and said, "Greetings, highly favored one, the Lord is with you." It says she was much perplexed. I believe we could probably use the word she was probably panicked by his words, and she pondered what sort of greeting this might be. In other words, she's saying, "Oh no, what's going to happen?" I would assume that some of us have had those types of greeting when someone calls up and said, "Hey, are you doing anything?" And our minds are perplexed, wondering, what are they going to ask of me? What are they calling for? Or perhaps in a working relationship, a boss says, "Hey, I'd like to have a conversation. And let's get together next week." And for some of us, we might say, "Well, can you tell me what it's about? Can you give me a little clue? Or could we meet sooner? Or do you have any idea?" And our minds start to spin. You see, that's what Mary was experiencing, this sense of being perplexed and pondering, what is all this about? She knew immediately that there was something going on. Her antennas were up. And so when our antennas are up, it's interesting to note, it says that she found favor with God. I wrote it, the first question I asked is, what is the value of finding favor with God? Or maybe we could say it another way, I'm not sure I want to find favor with God if that's the end result. Because for Mary, finding favor with God meant that she was faced with a very difficult road to hoe. She was faced with a very challenging thing. She was faced with a situation, what I would call, do not be afraid of a life-altering life situation. Giving birth to a child, in my experience, altered life as much as anything. It changes who we are as individuals. It also changes who we are as a couple. It changes how we interact. It's amazing how focused we can become on the birth of a child. And so finding favor with God did not mean, we would tend to like to believe, and we sometimes read accounts in the Old and New Testament where people were blessed by God, and it's this idea of this picture of life going in a good way, turning around. Even in the story of Job, that's so terrible, in the end, everything is restored. Except, of course, his family and children, which we sort of overlook. But this idea of finding favor with God does not mean life goes the way we want. This idea of favor, finding favor with God, does not mean that the story ending that we would appreciate and hope for, it turns out that way. Because in the story of Mary, finding favor with God not only meant that she had to face a life-altering decision, a life-altering direction, it also meant that she had to face it in a most difficult way. It would be nice if God would have, in giving this birth, would have somehow rolled out the red carpet and made it a wonderful experience. Having never given birth, I can only tell you what I observed from the sidelines. It's not an easy process. It's not without its pain. It's not without its emotion. It's not without its difficulties in the days ahead of feeling good, feeling not so good, of having fears, some rational, some irrational. It's a challenge, and it's things that just is part of it, and that's what Mary chose to do, to face it. And in this particular story, we know in the ending, it's not like God took care of making sure they had the best care possible, but rather the picture is that she had to travel the night before she gave birth and that there was no doctors in sight, but they gave birth out in a lonely manger, in isolation, in alone. And on top of that, strange men came to visit them. Shepherds, wise men, people they didn't even know. Somehow the glow of finding favor with God seems to diminish when we think of the story in that way. And not only in that way, in the birth story, but think of it, she had to watch her son grow up, not fully understanding him. She had to watch him grow up and see that even though he spoke of love and kindness and seemed to be a messenger from God, and yet see people hate him and see people want to stone him. And she herself didn't always know what to do about it. But often we have this picture that she stayed at a distance. And the word that she pondered these things in her heart is said frequently of her. She eventually watched this very same son that she was promised so many good things hang on a cross. You see, finding favor with God does not mean an easy life. Finding favor with God does not mean that it's going to just sort of go and then all the things are going to go in place the way we would like. I find in our culture, I find in my own life, that I often struggle with this very thing. That I think if I've done what God calls me to do, I think if I've followed the way God wants me to follow, if I've tried to speak the words or live the words, live, do what I'm supposed to be about, somehow things are supposed to fall in place. And when it doesn't happen, I often question, where is God? Why did this happen? The story of Mary is a strong reminder that finding favor with God doesn't mean life goes the way we would hope or anticipate, or even the way that we think an all-powerful God should be able to work things out. Finding favor with God means that we continue to take each step of the way as God directs, not as God secures a tremendous future. Mary, in finding favor with God, then is given this tremendous message of how she was going to conceive a son and bear a son, and you'll name him Jesus, and it's his glowing report. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever. You see, Mary, I would suggest, faced two very specific challenges in this call, in this wording, in this opportunity, in this proclamation that she was going to give first. First of all, her plans were changed. She was already, we are told, engaged to be married to Joseph. We don't know what their plans were, but the plans were that they were going to get married, and they probably had some idea of how Joseph would support them through his carpentry, through his father's. They were probably going to live fairly close to the father's family, and they were going to establish themselves. And she probably had an image of what that would be like. Imagine today in our own culture how we have plans and we anticipate, you know, some people have specific plans of where they're going to live and all of that. And yet she had to change that. She had to change the idea of not only, she kept the idea of getting married to Joseph, but she was going to enter this marriage already pregnant. Enter this with a child about to come. I don't know about you, but sometimes I do not always respond well when my plans are changed. I do not always respond well because I have my idea, and I would say particularly it's one of the challenges that many of us are facing even at this Christmas time. If there's ever a time that we have plans and traditions, and as some of us would say, we've always done it that way, this is the time we do certain things certain ways on certain days and certain times with certain people. And now all of a sudden that's all being altered. I'm not suggesting it's all being altered by God, but I would invite us to say, what is God calling us to alter? How is God inviting us to consider this altering change? Not too long ago, Nancy and I were going up to see Monica. As many of you know, Monica lives in Bethlehem, PA, and as we were going there, we went past the seminary, Moravian Seminary, where I attended seminary. And Nancy said something to the effect, remember when I thought we were going to come to seminary here and that I was going to get it, we were still in college, we were going to get married and we were going to get an apartment and live in this nice little town of Bethlehem. The end of that story is, being in the United Methodist system, I got appointed to a church in Barnesville, which to Nancy could have been on the other side of Russia. It was in the middle of nowhere, in a situation that probably surprised us both, and the whole idea of appointing a 22-year-old to lead a 2.2 charge, as we called them, two small churches in that area. Let's just say I'm not sure I thought I found favor with God. However, when we adapted and when we went to where God wanted, we were blessed by many good things that happened in that situation. But our plans had to change. We had to wrestle with the idea of not living here and just being, I would say, continuing our college sense of experience, which most college students, why grow up when you can keep going to college? We then had to face and go into a different way. Mary, all the much so, she had to change her plans. She had to listen and contemplate, and I cannot imagine what would be going through her head. How do I tell Joseph? How do I tell my family? What's going to happen? All the questions that would come with this. But she also had another challenge, and the question that seemed, and it seems so appropriate, she says, how can this be? It's not only facing a life-altering decision, it's also the method that God chooses. She said, how is this going to happen? What am I supposed to do? And it says, the angel said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. We don't know what she said there. We don't know what she thought. We have what is recorded. I'm going to guess she had some other thoughts besides of what we have recorded there. Like, what? How? You're kidding me? Is this going to be real? Let's look back in history. When has this happened before? Oh, it doesn't really work that way. There's just so many things that could be said there. But the whole point is, the method that she was told did not fit with what her experience was. So the challenge was that she was facing a completely different future than she had anticipated, beginning a married life with already having child, and now having child by a method that she had never heard of before. You see, in our call to follow God, often the method is not what we anticipate. You see, the method that we anticipate is when we look for unity in a church, we think unity comes about because we all think alike, we all say we're nice to one another and we get along. But sometimes unity is the challenge of speaking more honestly with one another and really getting at an understanding and saying, but I'm going to choose to love you anyhow. And there's a unity there in a deeper way. In a similar way, sometimes in this trying to help someone, we don't know what to do, and our idea of what help would look like, our idea of, as I would say, typically our response is, how do we fix them? Maybe it doesn't mean that we actually fix them in the way that we would like, but maybe we just learn how to walk alongside of them and let them find their own way. Or maybe we get direction from God to do something that seems very opposite of what we would naturally do. You see, when we believe, when we walk this journey of faith with God, we understand that not only are our plans often thrown upside down, but the very method that we think things should happen often doesn't go in the patterns of what we have learned in the past. That's this challenge of living by faith. That's the challenge of do not be afraid. When we know and we understand everything in our body is telling us to be afraid, this isn't going to work. But when it's God speaking, we have to understand that bigger picture, that God uses methods beyond our understanding and comprehension. Now, Mary's response is famous, and the Catholic Church venerates Mary because of this positive response that she said. Rather than arguing at this point, rather than laughing as some other people did, rather than going the opposite direction as Jonah did, as so many people in the biblical witness did, Mary said these things, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And then the angel departed. In my experience, and here's to me the good news, there aren't many Marys in the world. There aren't many of us who, when we hear this type of news, when we face these types of challenges, when we're given opportunities to a life-changing experience, we don't easily say, "Here I am, whatever you say, Lord." Boy, just another good day in paradise. But we're not condemned for that. You see, throughout the biblical witness, the challenge isn't our first response. The challenge isn't, do we get it right the first time? The challenge isn't, but the challenge and the opportunity for us is to continue to work at and understand, what does it mean for us to be like Mary, to be that servant, to say, Lord, I'm trying to work out what it is you want of me, and what is it you want to see happen according to your word? You see, throughout Jesus' ministry, this was a continual challenge. He often talked about this in the parable of the two sons who went into the vineyard, and he asked the first to go, and he said, yes, I'll go, and he asked the second. Jesus highlighted in that it was the one who later changed his mind and went. You see, the good news, it is okay for those of us who take longer and change our mind and later do that which is what God calls us to be about. It's okay if some of us, you know, we probably know people who, when change comes about, some of us would go more quickly and some of us not so quickly. And on some things, some of us adapt quickly and others slowly. We're all over the map. None of us are experts at this. Maybe Mary, but besides that, we all struggle with this. But may we understand the ever-presence of God who continues to invite us to go forward, who continues to invite us, and may we be encouraged to understand, what does it mean for us in the midst of our current life, in the midst of our current circumstances, in the midst of life-changing situations that all of us may be facing, in the midst of odds or in the midst of solutions and things that we cannot see working, being worked out, and in the midst of our own struggles and our own complaints and our own criticism, what would it be for us to say, Lord, here am I. Let it be according to your word. Lord, here am I. Let it be. Help me be shaped. And may we, between now and the next couple of days, as we head towards Christmas Eve, as we head to celebrating that day, may it be our prayer to say, Lord, what is it that you want me to submit and say according to your word? And fill in the blank, whether it be a relationship, whether it be plans that have been changed, whether it be opportunities, whatever it may be, may we, in our own way, find the faith to be faithful as Mary and submit and say, we can try it again. Lord, let it be according to your word. Let us pray.